Let's pray. Almighty God, gracious Father in heaven, pray for thy Holy Spirit to teach us out of thy word and help us to be doers and obedient to thy word. In Jesus' precious and holy name, we pray. Amen. All right, so today I've taken the title of the message straight from what is mentioned in the text of which that lawyer asked. So verse 25, if we can put up verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, a certain lawyer, an expert in the law, an expert in the law of the Old Testament. And this person surely must have studied a lot of God's word and being able to reach that kind of intellectual status. He's a lawyer, very clever, very intellectual. So he stood up and tempted him. So here itself we know that this particular lawyer is not really asking the Lord Jesus Christ some questions so that he will know the answer and he can probably get close to God. No, that was not his intention. His intention was to trick the Lord Jesus Christ. His intention was to test the Lord Jesus Christ and possibly make Jesus Christ lose face right in the midst of all the people. He said, I am so clever. I am an expert in the law. Now, let me ask you a question. So, he said, Master, well, at least he showed some kind of formal acknowledgement. Teacher, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, he thinks that he's going to ask the Lord Jesus Christ something that will make this lawyer feel important, because this lawyer will probably think that he knows the answer already. And he asks the Lord Jesus Christ, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ could have easily just said, believe on me and thou shalt be saved. It is almost like the thief that was on the cross when the Lord Jesus Christ was nailed on the cross. Remember me, the thief asked the Lord Jesus. So the Lord Jesus said that today thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's very fast. You can believe in the Lord Jesus Christ there and then and accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But the Lord Jesus Christ didn't say such an answer to this lawyer. So what did the Lord Jesus Christ say? Oh, you want to tempt me? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ already knows his heart and already know the heart of the lawyer who asked this question to tempt, to test the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, since he knows his heart so well, now he's going to expose his heart and expose that part of him that will make him shameful. So verse 26, the Lord Jesus said, well, let me ask you a question. He said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? You expert in the law, expert in the Old Testament. What is written in the law? How readest thou? How do you read the law? Tell me, what is the right answer? If you want to get eternal life. And this particular lawyer, the expert of the law, says, huh, isn't that very easy? I know it very well, and I'm going to get very good grades for this particular answer. And my answer is verse 27. And this lawyer said unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, the answer is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Wow, impressive. Verse 28. And Jesus, our Lord, said unto him, thou hast answered right. The answer given was right, because the answer came from his brain. His answer came from the brain of that lawyer, of the expert in the law. But the Lord Jesus Christ now want to dig it deeper and want to test his heart. The Lord Jesus Christ say, this do. Since you ask me what to do to get eternal life, this do, and thou shalt live. Because to the Lord Jesus Christ, he knows the heart of sinners. The heart of sinners cannot do all these things because we are sinners. But thank God that when we believe the Lord Jesus Christ, we are saved by grace. But we are not perfect. And who can say that you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ chose to test him just on one aspect, which can be seen. And that aspect will be on the last portion. Since the expert of the law said that, love thy neighbor as thyself. All right, you're saying that you love God and you're able to do it. Let me just try to ask you just one, a simple one. That is your neighbor. And 29, but he willing to justify himself said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So the Lord Jesus Christ knew already in his heart that this particular man is up to no good and trying to test the Lord Jesus Christ. And sure enough, he asked the following question. And who is my neighbor? Wow. So this man is trying to be smart. He's trying to be, and he is very proud. He's a very proud man. And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, well, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give him a parable. Expert of the law, you want me to tell you who is your neighbor? That you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself? And obviously this expert of the law loved himself a lot. And so now I'm going to demonstrate to see whether he loved his neighbor. Who is my neighbor? The person asked. So verse 30, the Lord Jesus Christ painted this story. And this parable is a true story. And it happened. So the Lord Jesus Christ narrated, say this story. A certain man, and we are not sure who is this particular person, but it's a certain man, went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem is on a higher ground. Jericho is on the lower ground. So this particular man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And since he came down from Jerusalem, this particular person most likely is a Jew. And this Jew, which is also of the same kind as the lawyer, so this Jew went down to Jericho. And that particular pathway, that walkway from Jerusalem to Jericho is very dangerous because it is in a place where there are these mountains by the side. And it's very dangerous because you can be robbed. And the robbers will know that this is a very good place to rob people. Because even if you scream and you shout, nobody will help you. So easy to catch and steal and rob you. So what happens? This certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and sure enough, fell among thieves. Oh, it's horrible. to fall among thieves, robbers. And how many of them? More than one, that's for sure. Among thieves, it's plural, more than one. And what happened to this Jew that has got money with him and that was walking from Jerusalem all the way to Jericho? Oh dear me, he was stripped of his raiment. He was stripped of his clothing. Even his clothing was stolen away. You say, ayo, how come this robber won the clothing? Hey, by the way, clothing in those days is not easy to get, okay? It's, you have to tailor it and so on. And that clothing would be worth some money. And so, stripped him of his clothing, robbed him. And not only that, wounded him. How did he wound? We are not sure, but certainly wounded him until he is bruised and got blood coming out. Wounded him. And what happened? And departed. These robbers, thieves, robbed him not only of his money, robbed him of his clothing, and wounded him, and departed, ran away. And nobody could see where they are, ran away. And what happened to that poor Jew? Leaving him half dead. Have you seen a person being pushed, wounded, and half dead? I would imagine there's blood flowing, semi-conscious, trying to ask for help, but no more voice. It was so painful, and every part of the body being wounded, half dead. That is very, very bad, half dead. Now, verse 31, the Lord Jesus Christ went on to tell this story. And by chance, verse 31, there came down a certain priest that way. Now, the priest is a very high title, very important person in Jerusalem. And this guy was also from Jerusalem, was half dead down there. So the priest is a very important person in Jerusalem, in temple. Wow, spiritual leader. Came from Jerusalem, also walking towards along that path. And what happened? And when he saw him, when the priest saw that half dead Jew, he passed by on the other side. He did not even come near. He passed by on the other side, so scared to be near this half dead man. So scared. Well, what he's scared of, we're not sure, but surely he's scared. And probably if he were to touch that man, that priest might become unclean. We're not sure. Or he's afraid that the robbers might still be around. Or, I don't want to have such trouble because I'm going on to do something and here is this man. Don't waste my time. I'm just going to do something, my own things. And my own thing is more important. So, he walked on the other side, passed by the other side, did not even come near. Verse 32, and likewise, a Levite, now come a person who is less important than the priest, is also from Jerusalem, and also one of the leaders. So there's a Levite, who is also serving in the temple, came by the same way Jerusalem towards Jericho. When he was at the place, this Levite, slightly different. He came, and he looked on him. He came, and he even looked on him. That shows he's very close. He's just next to this body, next to that half-dead Jew. And he looked on him, with his eyes big, looked on him. And what happened? And passed by on the other side. No help given. Passed by on the other side. Again, walked away. What kind of leader is this? What kind of priest is this? What kind of Levite is this? And then verse 33, the Lord Jesus Christ said, but a certain Samaritan, what is a Samaritan? Samaritan is a person from Samaria. And Samaria, this place, and all the people who are down there, Samaritans, the Jews, the priests and the Levites, and all the people in Jerusalem don't like them because they think that the Samaritans are outcast. They don't like them because they say that, oh, you're half-breed. You are not Jews. And then last time you were all mixed up with the Assyrians. You are half-breed. We don't like you. We have nothing to do with you. In fact, we look down upon you, Samaritans. They will not even pass by Samaria. And verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, and we don't even know where he was journeying from, but he passed by that place, and as he journeyed, he came where he was. He came to that place where that half-dead Jew was. And he saw him. That Samaritan saw the half-dead Jew. And very important, he had compassion on him. Not like the priest, not like the Levite. This Samaritan had compassion on him. And what is compassion? The feeling of pity. I want to help this man. Feeling of pity. Had compassion on him. Verse 34. Now this compassion drove this Samaritan to do something. And this Samaritan went to this half-dead Jew, bound up his wounds. So basically, bandaged his wounds. Probably got wounds and blood coming out, bandaged the wounds. And in those days, they don't actually carry first aid boxes. I mean, even here, we don't have first aid box, right? In the church either, you've got all the gifts, but you don't have first aid box. So how to bandage that Jew? Probably by tearing off some part of his own clothing. Because you know why? The Jew, no more clothing, you know. Robbed already. Robbed. Stripped of his clothing. So this Samaritan probably will tear some part of his own clothing and bound up the wounds. Why bound up the wounds? So that bacteria will not get in, the blood will stop flowing, right? And it will not be exposed to all the bacteria in the air. Bound up his wounds. And then he poured in oil and wine. He's not cooking, yeah? Lady Pauline are thinking that he's cooking. No, it's not cooking. Pouring in oil and wine is not to marinate. It's to make sure that the person and the wound and all those... Wine has got alcohol, some parts of alcohol, and it will kill some bacteria, at least to kill some bacteria. And the oil is to soothe so that it will not be so hardened. Sometimes when your blood is hardened and your wound is hardened, there's a cut. It's very painful. So you put some oil and it's softer, right? Put in oil and wine. And what did the Samaritan do? And set him on his own beast. He has got probably, we do not know whether it's a donkey or a horse. And set him on his own beast, that own animal. And which means that this Samaritan has to walk now. And to carry his things and has to walk and put this injured, half-dead Jew onto the beast, onto the animal. And, wow, this Samaritan is fantastic. He brought him to an inn. What is an inn? A hotel. It may not be a Shangri-La. It may not be, but it is a hotel. It is an inn. It is a place where there can be safety. It's a place where there is food. There's a place that he can rest. There's a place probably there is a bed. And for the people who are passing by, the inn would be a relatively secure place. So brought him to an inn and took care of him. This Samaritan, unlike the priest, the Levite, got something to do. Well, Samaritan also has got something to do. He needs to go to another place. He has something to do. That's why he's moving in that direction. But even with that something to do, the Samaritan say, because I have compassion. And that Samaritan saw this guy, it doesn't matter whether it's a Jew or a Samaritan or a Filipino or a Singaporean, never mind. This guy has got compassion. Bring this half-dead man. I'm not too sure whether if you were to see somebody half-dead, probably you call an ambulance. Probably that's about it. But I'm not sure whether you will do that, right? And bring him to a place, an inn. Took care of him. Took care of him means nurse him over there. This Samaritan did not know this guy. And half-dead, and who knows where the robbers are. I mean, the robbers could have just come over and take on the Samaritan also. And verse 35. And on the morrow, tomorrow, the day after, which means that the Samaritan actually took care of him for that whole night. And it's not easy to take care of a half-dead person, isn't it? Because the half-dead person might just die and take care of him. And on the morrow, when the Samaritan departed from the hotel, from the inn, he took out two pence. And he took out two pence, which is basically quite a lot of money in that time. It is not 2 cents. It is not $2. It's not $20. It is quite a lot of money of working. So took out some money and gave them to the host, gave them to this hotel keeper, the innkeeper, the host, and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now you see, this hotel person probably knows and saw the compassion of this Samaritan and would even agree to say that, yes, I will charge you when you come. And probably he knows that he will come back again. And he said, doesn't matter. I'll take care of him, and all the expenses I will charge upon you. And so this Samaritan must be someone whom the hotel, the innkeeper, may probably even know and say that this is a kind person, very kind person. And look how he take care of this half-dead man. And when he say he will come back again and pay me, I believe him. He will come back and pay me. So that's the situation. And so this expert of law in front of the Lord Jesus Christ said, what are you telling me this story for? I know I love the Lord. I love the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I love my neighbor as myself. What are you telling me, Lord Jesus? What exactly are you trying to tell me? So the Lord Jesus Christ said, verse 36, so expert in law, lawyer, which now of these three, the priest, the Levite, and that Samaritan, which one of these three was neighbor unto that guy, that him, that fell among the thieves, the half-dead man? So to the half-dead man, who is that real neighbor? Well, verse 37, this expert of law said, I cannot say the word Samaritan. How can the Samaritan be so good? And what happened to the priest and the Levite? So this lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him did not even want to say the word Samaritan. Jesus Christ know his heart. You're so clever, right? You're so smart, right? You say you can do this. You can love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you even love your neighbor as yourself. Really? Really? Go and do thou likewise. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ ask him to do that? Because he first started, what shall I do? Well, that's the sermon title today, but I put it down. What shall I do? Really? If you really want to gain eternal life, go and do this. But the Lord Jesus Christ, no, this Samaritan cannot do it. The priest couldn't do it. The Levite couldn't do it. Oh, the Samaritan did it. What is the Lord Jesus Christ trying to drive at for this lawyer? Believing in God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and get away to heaven is not due. You cannot do those things because whatever that you do, whatever your righteousness, your holiness that you think you're a great lawyer, is filthy, dirty rags before God. You want to do? You can do. And the Samaritan and this lawyer knows that he can't do it. If he can't even love his neighbor, can't even love that half-dead man, what is this about loving God? Full heart, all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. Are you sure? So, Christianity, the Lord Jesus Christ said, believe on him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in the Lord Jesus Christ shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is not about doing and climbing up to heaven. You can't. So what should you do? Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ can do for us. And what can the Lord Jesus Christ do for us? He can live a perfect life for us. He was born for us. He lived a perfect life for us. And he died for us. And he rose again for us. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ can love God Almighty, Heavenly Father, all his heart, all his soul, all his strength, all his mind, and love his neighbor as thyself and as himself. And he even gave his life for the people whom he came for. And the Lord Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he loved his neighbor as himself. This the Lord Jesus Christ has done 100%. Lawyer, you ask me, what shall I do? You can do. You can do. Likewise, you can't. You can't even say the word Samaritan, not to mention do. You can't do it. But if you want to do, this is a thing. Go and do it. So the thing is that Christianity, it's a religion not of do, but a religion of done. It's done. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on the cross, he cried, "It is finished. It is done. It is completely and absolutely done." So, lawyer, you want to do? You can't do it. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's done. And accept him. So that's one portion, one aspect of this particular passage. The other aspect is the verse on 33. The Lord Jesus Christ also wants to highlight about the Good Samaritan. And what is the driving force for this Good Samaritan to be a blessing to this half-dead Jew? The last part, he had compassion on him. When we are asked to do certain things, we sometimes can do it out of duty. And if we do it out of duty, You know, look at the clock, look at the watch. Oh dear me, it's not 4 o'clock yet, I cannot go home, right? But if you do it out of love, you do it out of compassion, you say, how come it's so fast, 4 p.m.? That's different. So this Samaritan did it out of love. He had compassion. The Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross and died on our behalf. God so loved us. It is motivated by love. Motivated by the compassion on us. And likewise, for Christians, if we want to serve the Lord, if we want to be a blessing to others, let's do it with compassion. Not out of duty, not out of, oh, somebody asked me to do it, therefore I will do it. No, out of love. That's what God wants us to do. And who is your neighbor? Wow, this is a big question. Anyone that may be impacted by your actions and by your care and by your love. That's your neighbor. Love your neighbor as thyself. We all know how to love ourselves, and let us love our neighbor as ourselves. The neighbor is not necessarily the person who is sitting next to you or sitting next to you. Well, they are your physical neighbor. But let's say in a church, your neighbor is Cornerstone members. Those who come and visit Cornerstone. And those people who are the loved ones and family members of the Cornerstone people. And therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ gave us this example. Go out there and be a blessing to others. Love your neighbor as yourself. So as Christians, let us do that. If we say that we love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with our strength and mind, at least show that proof that we can love our neighbor as ourselves. And therefore, in our church in Cornerstone, we said one in Christ. No difference. It doesn't matter who you are, and it doesn't matter what station of life you are in. It doesn't matter which address you live in. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what color of the skin we are, what nationality we are. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Come, let us all pray. Almighty God, our gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee that today we can understand from Your word that our Lord Jesus Christ has done it all. And He has said, it is finished, completely, absolutely done, the salvation work, that we, the salvation work that we could never do to perfection, the Lord Jesus Christ has done it for us. Thank You, Lord. And now that we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we want to have compassion on others. And we want to be like this good Samaritan with love and compassion to go out of the way to be a blessing, even if it means inconvenience to us. Lord, I pray for Sister Nema, that You will be with her, that her time in Singapore is up and she's returning to the Philippines, that You will use her as a channel of Your blessing to the children ministry, the children over there, and to her own family and loved ones. Lord, use her as a channel of Thy blessing. Be with her in a special way, and that she may glorify and honor Your name, and provide for her every need, and strengthen her as she goes on this path of being obedient to Thee. We give Thee praise and thanks through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.